John chapter 1. Our focus is going to be on verses 6 through 9, but I'll be reading verses 1 through 18. John 1, focusing verses 6 through 9, reading 1 through 18. Hear God's holy word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory, glory as the one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me.' And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Thus far the reading of God's holy word. The grass withers, the flower fails, but the word of our God endures forever. Let's pray. Our Father, we do rejoice in your word, and we thank you for the light. And we thank you, Father, that you have shown that light and you have opened our eyes to see. We pray for your blessing on each of us now, that you would strengthen, that you would guide, that you would direct, that you would uphold. We pray for he who brings your word, that we would hear what you have for us. And so, Father, speak to us now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've seen over the past couple of weeks that John's focus as he begins his epistle is a bit different than the other Gospels. Again, for example, Matthew and Luke give us a genealogy of Christ. They tell us some of the specifics of the virgin birth. John doesn't so much focus on the birth, but he goes back earlier. He goes back beyond Bethlehem to eternity past. And he wants us to understand and know that Jesus' origins are in eternity. He didn't come into being in Bethlehem in that manger. Jesus was in the beginning with God, and he indeed is God. He was in the beginning with God when everything was created. Christ is a distinct person in the Godhead, but nonetheless fully God. And we saw stress that it was through him that all things were created and nothing was created apart from Christ. And so we saw that the one who came into the world to save sinners, the one who took on flesh, the one who dwelt among us, the one who lived for us, who died for us, who rose for us, the one who paid for our sins on Calvary's tree was none other than the eternal God, the very one through whom the entire universe was created. The last time we saw that in Christ was life. In other words, not only is Christ the source of all physical life, he's the source of all spiritual life as well. And so in him, in Christ, and in Christ alone is eternal life. But we also talked about eternal life meaning not just an endless number of days, but eternal life has to do with the idea of abundant life as well. And we saw last time as well that Christ is the light. He came into the world to show us our sins and to reveal to us God. The darkness was opposed to the light, but we also saw the darkness could not overcome the light. Now, today we'll be looking at a witness to the light. Now, brothers and sisters, I trust if I were to ask you, what is the greatest need in this world? I trust that all of you would be saying, affirming loudly and boldly, the need is for Jesus Christ and the gospel. And indeed, that is the answer. The world is full of darkness and it needs Christ. That's what your greatest need is. That's what my greatest need is. That's what the world's greatest need is. Without Christ, you are going to hell. Without Christ, this world and all that is in it, there is no hope. But if I were to ask the world, not you, if I were to ask the world what the greatest need in the world is today, you would get all kinds of answers. Some would say, peace. We need a stop to the wars that are going on. We need peace in this world. And others would say, perhaps we need health care. We need a cure for things like cancer. Others would say, perhaps something like, we need to end world hunger. The Beatles, you may remember, used to sing, all we need is love. And there are many other answers that could be given. And these are concerns that we as the church ought to care about. God does call us to love one another. But brothers and sisters, the greatest need still and nonetheless that the world has is Jesus Christ. And He did come as a light shining in the darkness. The most famous passage in John's Gospel and perhaps in all of Scripture says this, John 3:16-18. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Since Jesus is the light and the world's greatest need, today we're looking at a witness to that light. God has given a witness to that light. So two things we'll focus on, the witness of John, and actually with that our witness as well. And then secondly, the true light. Since our greatest need is Jesus and to believe in Jesus, it's not a surprise and indeed it's a great blessing that God sends a witness to the light, someone to announce and point to the light. Just as in days past, right, kings that would be approaching, what would they have? They would have others go before and say, the king is coming. And so John was sent by God to, in essence, say, behold, the Lamb of God. God sent us a witness, John 1:6-7. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. Now, there's a bit of a contrast. It's interesting as we reach verse 6 this morning. In verses 1 to 5, we've been talking about Christ. And, of course, John's purpose is to point to that Christ. But we've talked about Christ being uncreated, the one who was with God in the beginning, the one who created all things, in whom there is life and light. And now there's a contrast as we get to verse 6, or a shift. Because verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God. Christ, of course, is God. John, who's coming to point to Christ, we're told of him, now there was a man. John's a man, simply a man. Yes, a man sent by God, but John's only a man. And perhaps I should point out at this point that John the Baptist, who we're talking about here right now, is not the author of this epistle. This is not John the Apostle who wrote this letter. There are two different men. Now, as I said earlier, the author of this letter never mentions himself by name. No doubt because what does John the Apostle, want to do? He simply wants to be a light as well that says, no, not me, Jesus. Not me, Jesus. Look to him. But here John the Apostle is telling us about John the Baptist who came from God. But John the Baptist's task was to bear witness to the one who is the light, to bear witness to Jesus, to point to Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, you know from Scripture that witnesses are important. You know, when it comes to a court case, that everything must be established on the basis of two or more witnesses. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1 says, "This is the third time I'm coming to you." Every charge must be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. So even the testimony of Christ is established by multiple witnesses. In fact, John makes it clear throughout his epistle that many witnesses have testified to Christ. There's the witness of the Father and of Christ. John chapter 8, verse 18 says this, "I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me." The works of Jesus also bore witness to him. John 10:25 says this, "Jesus answered them, I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me." John points out that the Old Testament scriptures bear witness to Christ. John 5:39 says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me." And of course, there are witnesses like the woman at the well and the blind man that was given sight, John 4, John 9, bearing witness as well, sent to bear witness. And of course, all the apostles are witnesses. John chapter 15, verse 27 says, "And you will also, or you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning." And of course, we know that the Spirit bears witness as well, John 15, 26. "But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." And so John's very concerned about bearing witness to the light. And of course, the focus for our passage here is John, who comes as a witness to bear witness to the light. John, his very name means gift of God. And what a gift this is, right? To be one who's going to say, "Look there, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." So John is certainly a special and a significant witness sent from God. In fact, miraculous things often happened, or we see happened, in John's life. There was a miraculous birth also for John, born to a couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth, who were old and well advanced in years, according to Luke 1:18. And you'll remember that an angel of the Lord announced this birth to Zechariah and said that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. Luke 1:15. Children, do you remember? Who remembers the first testimony, the first witness of John the Baptist of Jesus? Anybody remember that? When would you say was the first prophecy, or the first pointing, the first witnessing of John the Baptist? How old was he, children? Anybody remember? He was still in the womb. Right? Do you remember what I'm talking about? Mary, pregnant with Jesus, came into the presence of Elizabeth, and she being pregnant, what happened? The baby within the womb leapt for joy and in essence said, "There he is! Behold, the Lamb of God." Truly, John was sent by God. In fact, when he saw Jesus, later on, of course, John 1, 29 to 30, we read this, "Then the next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me.'" But what I need to emphasize and stress is that John's ministry and all gospel ministry really needs to be about bearing testimony to the light, to to the true light, that is to Jesus. And this cannot be overemphasized. True gospel ministry is about the light. It's about Jesus. It's giving facts, the truth, the evidence about who He is and why He came and what He's done. That is, gospel ministry is to give facts about Him who is the Word, the life, and the light. It's to show that Jesus Christ did come in the flesh, lived a perfect life for His people, died in their place, was raised for their justification, ascended to heaven, and is coming again. It's to put on display the glory of Him who proceeds from the Father, full of grace and truth. And so all true Christian ministry must be Christ-centered. The preaching of the Word every Sunday morning and evening, whether Old Testament or New Testament, must be Christocentric. In other words, it must be focused on Christ. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2? For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Brothers and sisters, the task of witnessing or bearing testimony about Jesus that was given to the first disciples still belongs to the church today. It's the church's task to bear witness, to come, you might say, like John, and say, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In fact, the Ten Commandments, I've pointed this out in the past, the Ten Commandments call us to bear witness to the truth. You might say, where? Whenever a commandment forbids something, the opposite is required. And so when the ninth commandment calls us, right, not to bear false witness, the ninth commandment is also doing what? It's calling you to be true witnesses. It's calling you to witness to the greatest truth there ever was. Jesus Christ has come and is the light. And you're to bear witness to that light. You're to be true witnesses. That task does not belong only to pastors and elders. That task belongs to the church. I trust you remember what Jesus said or prayed in His high priestly prayer, John 17, verse 18. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. You have a task to bear witness to the light. You were sent into the world. And as the task of John here in verse 7 was to bear witness about the light, that is your task as well. You see, Christ is the subject and theme of our witness. A Christian's witness is first and foremost about Jesus. We tell people what is summed up in the Apostles' Creed. See, the Apostles' Creed, which we'll recite again tonight, is a great summary, isn't it? That Jesus is God's only Son and our Lord. That He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. That He suffered under Pontius Pilate. That He was crucified, dead, and He was buried. And He descended into hell, but was raised on the third day. And He ascended into heaven, and He sits and reigns at the right hand of the Father. And from there He will come to judge the living and the dead. What a great summary. We're to bear witness to those truths. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, "We are meant to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and to tell them He is the Son of God and that He's come into this world in order to save men and women. We are meant to tell men exactly why the world is as it is. We're meant to tell them about sin in the human heart. And that nobody and nothing can deal with it save the Son of God." We're very ready to talk about our doctors and to praise them who cured us when some have failed. We talk about some business which is better than others, or about films and plays and actors and actresses and 1,001 other things. We're always glorifying people. The world is full of it. And the Christian is meant to be praising and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, brothers and sisters, we need to look to the one John the Baptist pointed to for our salvation, namely Jesus Christ. But we also need to be like John the Baptist. And as we go about our community and go about our world, we're to be saying to others, behold, behold the Lamb of God. Look to Jesus. He's the one that takes away sin. There is no other salvation. We must point them to the Lamb. And also take note of the manner of John's ministry. He was not the light, it says. Verse 18, he was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. Brothers and sisters, we may give a personal testimony of how Jesus saved us. But the goal must always be to point to the light and not draw attention to ourselves. And there's a warning here for all of us. There's a warning here for pastors, actually. Right? Sometimes I think we get famous or well-known pastors in different churches. I remember a story that I read about of a man who was going on vacation, and he was excited that a well-known pastor, that he's read his sermons, read his books, he was excited to go and hear this pastor preach. But he also knew that sometimes at that church they had guest preachers because that pastor is going to different places and doing things. And so he called, and it was the pastor that he talked to, and he says, "Hey, Pastor so-and-so, I'm visiting the area, I've read some of your stuff, I look forward to hearing you preach. Are you going to be preaching this Sunday?" And the pastor's response was, "Christ is going to be preached this Sunday. It doesn't matter who's preaching. I hope you'll be here this Sunday. Goodbye." You see, a pastor's goal, right, is never to draw attention to himself. Must never be. But to point to Jesus Christ. There was an elder in the church I was part of in New Jersey whose custom was to pray for the pastor prior to the service. And often he used these words, "Lord, hide him behind the cross." What was his point in that? When the pastor was leading worship, basically he was saying, "God, don't show us the pastor. Hide the pastor behind the cross. Show us whom the pastor is pointing to. Show us Jesus." Ministry must never be about us, but about the one who has saved us, about the one who is the light. John was not the light. He came to point to the light. We're not the light. We're to point to the light as well. And whenever a Christian, a pastor, a writer, a teacher, or whoever gets to thinking that there's something important about him, he's going to lose his effectiveness as a witness. Now, people might say, "Wow, I've noticed you changed." But again, what is that? Not something for us to take pride in, but to say, that's the work of Christ. That's what Christ has done in me. And you need that as well. Now, it's true that in chapter 5, we do read this, John 5 of John the Baptist, "He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light." Now, John's called a lamp and a light here. But we must realize that this is a different word being used in this place. And we must realize that as a witness, we do not shine on our own light, but the light of Christ. Just as a lamp needs oil, right, to shine, it doesn't have its own light, its own source of power, its own source of energy. So Christians do what? We must shine with the light of Christ through the strength we have from Christ. And we must shine about Christ. It's not any light that we have of ourselves. Or to change the illustration here, if I said, "Children, can you see the moon's light?" What would you answer? You might say yes, but then I would teasingly say, "No, you don't. The moon doesn't have any light." You say, "Wait a minute. I see it when I look at it." What's the light of the moon? The light of the sun reflected, right? What are we to do? We don't have a light of our own. We reflect that of Jesus Christ. We point to Christ. He is the life. And it's our goal to say, there's the light. In fact, what's the goal of John's witness and ours? Verse 7, he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. John came to bear witness to the light, that people, that all might believe. We bear witness as well. Why? So that others, so that all, so that those we come in contact with might believe. Now you might say, but our chief end is to glorify God. True. But are we not glorifying God as we share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, we've been talking about the witness to the light. And the point of all of this is to point men and women and children to the true light. And so verse 9 says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, has come into the world. Since Jesus is the true light, our testimony is to be of him. No other light can show us the truth about God and ourselves. Now, we know that there are a bunch of religions in the world, a bunch of, we might say, false lights. The message of the gospel is completely different than any other religion. All of the religions in some way talk of us getting better, of us some way meriting, earning the favor of God. But when the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ truly illumines our hearts, it shows us that we're sinners. It shows us that we've violated the law of God, that we've committed cosmic treason against the one God of the universe. And it becomes clear that there's no hope in us. We can't save ourselves. And so, as I said in the beginning, your greatest need, my greatest need, the world's greatest need is Jesus Christ. You see, your sins must be punished by the wrath of a holy God. And either Jesus has taken that punishment upon himself and paid for it in your place, or you must pay that punishment by being eternally condemned. There is no other real light. There is no other salvation. There is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. Jesus is the true light. And there is salvation in him because he has died and he's risen. Now, there are many today who think that they can be saved by living a good life. That's the mentality, by the way, that I grew up with. I thought that if I was good enough, I'd be saved. And the thing is, I thought I was good enough. I was a good student. I was a moral student, at least in my own mind, anyways. I never got involved in the partying scene. I thought that God wouldn't send someone like me. I mean, I'm not perfect, but God wouldn't send someone like me to hell. But I didn't understand the gospel, and I didn't understand myself. I failed to understand my sin. I failed to understand my wickedness. But the light of Christ shone, and it became clear to me that I was the foremost of sinners, a prideful young man who thought too highly of myself. My greatest need, your greatest need, the world's greatest need is the true light, namely Jesus. And when we understand our sin, our wickedness, then we understand why we need a Savior. Right? When we don't think we're that bad, you don't think you really need a Savior. Sin is wretched. Sin is cosmic treason. And faith now, right? That affects and must affect all of our life. We're to continue to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so let me stress that while faith is once and for all in its effects, that is, those who put their faith in Christ will never be lost. Christ will let none of his go. Faith is not something that you just exhibit once when you first believed. We're to continue to exercise faith. We're to continue to put our trust in Christ. And that affects all of life. And let me give you some examples of that. Let's say you're facing some life-threatening illness. And you might think at that very moment, my greatest need right now is skilled medical care. And skilled medical care is important, right? But the greatest need still is Jesus. For one who is gravely ill, is it not great to know that God holds your life in His hands, and He will hold you safe for all eternity, regardless of the effects of your disease. And so you can have faith in His perfect and loving care. And believer, what is your greatest need when you're struggling, when you're hurting, when you're lacking? Is it not to know that you belong to Christ and that He cares for His own? Again, I'm not saying that you ought not to pray for a job or a resolution to the struggle. But is there anything better than to know that whatever sorrow, whatever pain, whatever struggle, whatever issue that you're going through, that Jesus holds tight to Himself those who belong to Him? Your greatest need, my greatest need, the world's greatest need is Jesus. Everything else pales in comparison to that. So, brothers and sisters, Jesus is the true light. And as He is the true light, put your faith in Him. And as He is the true light, go into the world, go into the community, and tell others, behold, behold the Lamb of God who takes away sin. Praise God for His grace. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in Your goodness and grace. We rejoice in the Lamb of God who has come into the world as that true light and is that true light. Father, thank You for the salvation that we have in Him. Help us, Lord, to be testimonies, to be witnesses to that true light, to point to Him, to reflect that light, that others might believe, and that Your name be honored and glorified. We do pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn.